देवलोके
भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवतीर्वुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः नमोम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे We are in the last section of the 17th chapter. So in this last section, Mother Earth is offering prayers to Prithu Maharaj, who is very angry at this time. So Mother Earth offers prayers in 8 verses just to pacify the anger of Prithu Maharaj. And at this point, Mother Earth could understand that Prithu Maharaj is an incarnation of the Lord and she is actually surrendering to Prithu Maharaj. So in the first prayer, Bhumi Devi said that you only expand into the different elements in the material creation which are there in the 3 modes of material nature. Although everything in the material world is an expansion of you, but still you remain separated, you remain transcendental, and you are not affected by the 6 waves of material interaction. Dravya Kriya Karaka Vibrama Urmaye. You are not affected by the six waves of material interactions. Then in the second prayer, Mother Earth said that you are the complete conductor of the material creation. You have only created this cosmic manifestation. So Mother Earth is saying, you have only created this cosmic manifestation, so why are you trying to destroy me? Just like a person who has actually planted a creeper should not actually destroy that creeper. Since you have only created me, so why are you trying to kill me? Please do not kill me. And moreover, Mother Earth says that I actually assist you and I actually support all the living entities. So why do you try to kill me? Why are you trying to kill me? That now that you are present before me and ready to kill me with your weapons, let me know where I should go to take shelter and tell me who can give me protection. Then Mother Earth says in the 31st verse, in the next verse she says that she says in a sense that you are the creator, and at this time you have appeared in order to protect the living entities, in order to maintain the living entities. Since you have appeared in order to perform the act of maintenance or protection, so this is not the time to actually destroy. So why are you trying to, why do you kill me? Why are you trying to kill me? This way Mother Earth is actually telling in different ways to pacify Mother Prithu Maharaj and not actually kill her. And then 32nd verse, yeah, the 32nd verse, she says that although you are one, by your inconceivable potencies you have expanded yourself in many forms. Through the agency of Brahma you have created this universe. So you have created this universe through the agency of Brahma, but people who are actually under the influence of the illusory energy, they cannot understand your transcendental activities because of being under the influence of the illusory energy. So only those people who are actually got the mercy of the Supreme Lord, they can actually understand your transcendental activities. Although your plans may appear to be contradictory, but there is a definitive plan behind all of your actions. And those who are inexperienced, they cannot understand your activities and plans. So we have to read the 33rd verse. 33rd. Sargadi yosyanu runaddi shakti bir dravya kriyakaraka chetanatma bi tasmai samunnadda niruddha shaktaye nama parasmai purushaya vedase.
My dear Lord, by your own potencies you are the original cause of the material elements as well as the performing instruments, the senses, the workers of the senses, the controlling deities, demigods, the intelligence and the ego, as well as everything else. By your energy, you manifest this entire cosmic creation, maintain it, dissolve it. Through your energy alone, everything is sometimes manifest and sometimes not manifest. You are therefore the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you.
So in this verse, Mother Earth is offering obeisances to Prithu Maharaj by saying, because you have got inconceivably powerful energies. Or Srila Vishnu Chakravarti explains that, tasmai samunnadda niruddha shaktaye. That means, you have got powerful and contrary energies. Samunnadda means powerful and niruddha means contrary energy. That means like, you have energy for preserving and you have energy for destroying. And both energies are powerful and they are actually contrary. One is performing the act of protection or maintenance, and another is performing the act of destruction. So you have got powerful and contrary energies. And she says that, so therefore I offer respects to the possessor of inconceivable energy. Nama parasmai purushaya vedase. And Srila Prabhupada explained that sargadi yosyanu runaddi shaktibir dravya kriya karaka chetanatma bi. That means that by your potencies you are the original cause of the material elements, dravya kriya, as well as the performing instruments, the workers of the senses, karaka, the intelligence and the ego, chetana and atma bhi, as well as everything else. Or Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that I offer respects to the Supreme Lord, the creator, to you who carry out for the benefit of your devotees. The word sargadiyo asya அசியானு ருணத்தி சக்தி பிர் அசிய அனுருணத்தி. அசிய அனுருணத்தி மீன்ஸ் இதே த வேர்ட் அனுருணத்தி மீன்ஸ் ஃபார் த நீட்ஸ் ஆஃப் இஸ் டிவோட்டிஸ் அனுருணத்தி. சோ தேர் ஐ ஆஃபர் ரெஸ்பெக்ட் டு யூ ஹூ கேரி அவுட் ஃபார் ஹூ கேரி அவுட் ஃபார் த பெனிஃபிட் ஆஃப் யுவர் டிவோட்டிஸ் அனுருணத்தி. சோ வாட் டஸ் ஹி கேரி அவுட்? சர்க ஆதி, சர்க ஆதி ஹூ கேரி அவுட் ஃபார் த பெனிஃபிட் ஆஃப் த டிவோட்டிஸ் creation, maintenance and destruction, sarga adi of the universe. How does he carry out creation, maintenance and destruction? With the help of his different energies. And what are the different energies? That is explained in the second verse, dravya kriya karaka chetana atma bhi. By your energies of ahankara, intelligence, bodies, senses and the demigods who control the senses. So in this way I offer my respects to you who possesses powerful or great but mutually contrary energies. Samunnadda niruddha shaktaye. So Srila Prabhupada, in the purport, he actually gives an example. He says in the modern electronics, so an engineer may actually create a machine, or he may when we switch on a particular switch, and that actually results into a particular reaction, and that actually starts another reaction, and in this way a chain of reactions, chain of reaction actually starts just by the switching on of one particular switch. So similarly, the Supreme Lord pushes the button of creation, and different energies create the material elements and various controllers of the physical elements, and the subsequent interactions follow the inconceivable plan of the Supreme Lord. So in this way he gives an example. So this like just like for example, there is the scientist, there is one Nobel laureate called Rogers Ferry. He talked about what is called as a bottom up causation. Just like there are top down causation and bottom up causation. That means for example, if you want to know how the car is working, so one way of explaining is that car is actually moving because the engine is working, engine is running, and then the engine is running because there is a force on the engine which made the engine start running, and that force was generated because of the ignition, and that ignition was generated because key was put in this one and key was moved. So this is one way of explaining how the car is moving. This is like bottom up causation. This explanation is correct, but it's not the complete explanation. The complete explanation is that because the driver wanted to drive the car, he wanted to go from one place to another place. So that is the complete explanation, that is the top down explanation. So similarly, many times the scientists, they try to give a bottom up causation, they try to explain how the world is moving through in this way. But the actual explanation, which is a complete explanation, is that the Supreme Lord, the scientists, they, in order to explain how the world is moving, they give a bottom-up causation, which is partly correct, but is not a complete explanation. But the complete explanation for how the world is working or how the creation started is that because the Supreme Lord desired, and he actually glanced over the material elements, or he glanced over the pradana, and then from that everything started moving, and then by the influence of the time factor and the Lord's energies, and the creation started. So next verse, Rogers Ferry. He gave this bottom-up causation theory. 34th verse. Savai bhavan atma vinirmitam jagat bhutendriyantakaranatmakam vibho samstapayishyan ajamamrasatalat abhyujjaharambasa adisukara.
My dear Lord, you are always unborn. Once in the form of the original boat, you rescued me from the waters in the bottom of the universe. Through your own energy, you created all the physical elements, the senses and the heart, for the maintenance of the world.
So now, in the next two verses, 34th and 35th verse, Mother Earth is invoking the mercy of Prithu Maharaj by reminding how she was saved by the Supreme Lord previously in the beginning of the creation. Because in one sense, Prithu Maharaj is incarnation of the Lord, Satyavesh incarnation of the Lord. She is saying that previously when you had appeared, you had only saved me when I was actually at the bottom of the Garbhodaka ocean. So now why are you actually trying to kill me? So that is the mood of Mother Earth. By reminding the previous actions of Prithu Maharaj. Of course, actually, the Lord actually does not need to be reminded. The Lord does not need to be reminded. He remembers everything. Just like the Isopanishad, the 17th verse, the devotee is praying, Vayur Anilam Anritam Yatedam Basmantam Shariram Om Kritosmara Kritam Smara Kritosmara Kritam Smara. The devotee is praying that Om Kritosmara Kritam Smara, please remember whatever devotional service I have performed. So in one sense, like Prabhupada writes, that Lord actually does, even if the devotee forgets at the time of death, but the Lord actually never forgets whatever a devotee has performed, services whatever the devotee has performed. It's like Krishna, like Muchukunda Maharaj, he went to sleep because of exhaustion of fighting for so many years. But Krishna actually was remembering, oh, my devotee has been sleeping in this cave for so many thousands of years. So he never forgot that, and he wanted to actually wake him up. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he remembered the service rendered by those trees when he had appeared as Lord Ram in the Treta Yuga. And he remembered the service, and then he embraced those trees, and then he actually delivered those trees to the spiritual world. So in that sense, the devotee is actually praying out of great anxiety, oh, please remember my devotional service. So Mother Earth also, because of great anxiety, she is actually reminding Prithu Maharaj in order to invoke his mercy. Next verse. The whole Bhumandal is, I think, Mother Earth. Yeah, whole Bhumandal. Because, that is Priyavrat Maharaj. He divided into seven dvipas. Jambudvipa, Plakshadvipa, Ritudvipa, like that. Not Ritudvipa, Plakshadvipa, and different dvipas. Next verse. Savai, Apam upaste mayina vyavastita praja bhavan adhyari rakshi shukkila Saviramurti Samabuddharadaro Yomam Payasyugrasharo Jigamsasi.
My dear Lord, in this way you once protected me by rescuing me from the water, and consequently your name has been famous as Dharadhar, he who holds the planet Earth. Yet at the present moment, in the form of a great hero, you are about to kill me with sharpened arrows. I am, however, just like a boat on the water, keeping everything afloat.
So, they're continuing the same mood. Mother Earth is saying, you are actually famous as Dharadhar, one who actually lifted Mother Earth, one who lifted the earth. So since you have that kind of fame as Dharadhar, so why do you actually desire to kill me for milk with sharp weapons? So Srila Prabhupada writes that many foolish people, they conclude that the Lord's activities are contradictory. So he says that Lord's activities are not contradictory, but because the Lord is actually a transcendental platform, no one can understand the activities of the Lord. But that doesn't mean the Lord's activities are contradictory. Next verse. So she concludes the prayer in the next verse. So Prabhupada, in the next verse purport also, he takes the same theme of the 35th verse, and he writes in the purport that this shows actually the inconceivable nature of the Lord. So people consider, people say, oh, Lord's activities are contradictory. But actually, Lord's activities are inconceivable. That in one incarnation, he tried to protect the Mother Earth. But in another incarnation, he is about to kill Mother Earth. This shows actually Lord's activities are inconceivable. But we can understand the activities of the Lord when a person actually, when a person develops love for the Supreme Lord, when a person practices the process of devotional service. It's like Baldev Vidya Bhushan explains, the 13th chapter of the Gita, this verse comes, Bahirantascha Bhutanam Acharam Charamevacha Sukshmatat Sad Avigyayam Durastam Chantiketa Charat. Krishna is a Bahirantascha Bhutanam, he is inside of everything and outside of everything. Bahirantascha Bhutanam Durastam, he is far away and is also near as well. Sukshmatvat Tad Avigyayam, he is knowable, at the same time he is unknowable, he is the most subtle. Sukshmatvat Tad Avigyayam Durastam Chantikecharat. So he says that actually these qualities are actually exactly opposite qualities. So this shows actually that these things show how the Lord is actually inconceivable. But the Lord can be understood by when a person practices that inconceivable Lord can be understood by practicing the process of bhakti. So he says, gives an example, just like music, a person who is not trained in the different notes of music. When such a person, say, hears a Carnatic music or say classical music, so he may think that, why are they creating some noise? So, because he is not trained in actually the art of music. But on the other hand, somebody who is trained in that particular musical science, he'll be actually relishing that music. So similarly, somebody who is not trained in the process of bhakti, he will come to the conclusion, oh, the Lord's activities are contradictory. He actually acts whimsically, sometimes acts like this, sometimes acts like this. But one who is trained in the process of bhakti, he can actually understand the inconceivable nature of the Lord. Why the Lord is acting this way, why the Lord is acting that way. Because by the process of bhakti, a person gets the favor of the Lord, and by getting the favor of the Lord, by getting the mercy of the Lord, a person, he is actually revealed the proper understanding. So last verse. Noonam janairihitam ishvaranam asmat vidaistad guna sarga mayaya nagyayate mohita chitta vartma bis Tebhyo namo viraya shaskarebhya.
My dear Lord, I am also the creation of one of your energies, composed of the three modes of material nature. Consequently, I am bewildered by your activities. even the activities of your devotees can't be understood, and what to speak of your pastimes. Thus everything appeared to us to be contradictory and wonderful.
So here she says that since I am also created by you, so I cannot, I am bewildered by your activities. In fact, what to speak of understanding your activities, even the activities of your devotees cannot be understood. So Srila Prabhupada, the first paragraph he talks about especially, he says that according to Srila Jiva Goswami, unless we accept the inconceivable nature of the Lord, we cannot actually understand the activities of the Lord. Unless the Lord's activities are accepted as inconceivable, they cannot be explained. So, and then he quotes that, he comments on the word Kala and Ishwarana. He says, there are two kinds of expansions of the Lord. Kala means when the Lord expands, they are actually his own expansions. Vibhinnamsha is his separated expansions. So when we say the different, the Kala expansions are his different Vishnu Tattva expansions. And then he says the word Ishwaranam, because Noonam Janair Ihitam Ishwaranam. Because the word Ishwaranam has been used in the plural sense. It's like we cannot understand the activities of your different incarnations. So sometimes people may think that means like there are so many gods. So that means because there is a plural, that means God is not one. There are actually there are so many gods. But the fact is that God is one, but he exists and he exists in different forms, and all these forms are actually the same personality of Godhead, who actually manifests in different features and different forms according to the desire of different devotees. So he does not say that there are actually different God, there is only one God. He is trying to give that explanation. Sometimes a common man is bewildered by all this and considers such activities contradictory, but they are not contradictory. There is a great plan behind all the activities. And Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti explains, he just translates in a slightly different way. It says, Noonam Janair Ihitam Ishwaranam Asmat Videstad Gunasarga Mayaya. I mean, he says, your desire, Ihitam, your desire is not known to persons like the wives or son of the devatas, whose minds are bewildered by ignorance arising from various bodies we assume in this world, but who have surrendered to you. So your desire cannot be understood even by heavenly personalities, the wives of the demigods, the sons of the demigods, because they are actually under the influence of illusory energy, although they have surrendered unto you. And then he says, Na jayate mohita chitta vardnabis tebhyo namo veera yashaskarebhya. That means that I offer respects to you who brings fame to persons celebrated for charity. When somebody gives charity, they become famous. How they become famous? Because they are favored by you. You only actually bring fame to those people who are celebrated for charity. So in other words, what Mother Earth is actually indirectly saying to Prithu Maharaj is that, if you actually kill me, the fame of charitable persons will be gone. If you are not merciful to me, the fame of the charitable persons will be gone. So please actually be merciful to me and let the fame of charitable persons, let it remain. Let them not become infamous. By this particular act of killing me, the fame of charitable persons will be gone. So, Srila Prabhupada in the last paragraph, Huh. in the she just says that like you are because of your greatness, you make those people who give charity famous. People understand that, oh, because of your mercy, like people are becoming famous who give charity. But if you perform this particular act of, if you are not merciful to me, because of that, in the sense, there doesn't seem to be like particular connection with the previous verse. But she, the whole mood is that she is saying that if you perform this particular act of, if you are not merciful to me, then the charitable persons will not become famous. In that sense, the connection is that she is just trying to say that, oh, please do, be merciful to me, please do not kill me. So further she is just giving different reasons through different ways, that's what I feel. So I'll just summarize all the 8 verses, the main points what Mother Earth has spoken. The 29th verse, she simply offered obeisances to the Lord. She said that you only expand as many different forms of material energy, but at the same time you remain transcendental and you are completely free of the waves of samsara, the waves of material existence. And then the next verse she said, a person who has created something should not actually try to destroy that. Since you have only created me, please do not try to kill me. And then she also said, moreover, I actually assist you in your service. I give shelter to the 4 different types of living entities. The living entities born of perspiration, born of embryo, born of eggs, and born of the earth. And then the next verse, she said, you created all the living entities, and now you are engaged in the act of protection or maintenance of them. And this is not the time for destroying, so please do not actually destroy me. And then the 32nd verse, she said, even though you appear to be killing me, you are not at all irreligious. Even though you appear to be killing me, you are not at all irreligious. In fact, only those people who are bewildered by illusory energy, they cannot understand your activities. They may come to the conclusion that you are actually irreligious. In order to understand the nature of your transcendental activities, one needs your mercy in order to understand your activities. And then she said the next verse, I offer obeisances to the Lord who possesses inconceivably great and mutually contrary energies. Mutually contrary energies by which he performs creation, maintenance and destruction. And then the next 2 verses, Mother Earth reminded Prithu Maharaj how he had saved her previously in the beginning of the creation. In order, by reminding that, she is actually trying to evoke the mercy of Prithu Maharaj. And one more point which Vishnu Acharya Thakur says is that in the 35th verse purport, Mother Earth is telling to Prithu Maharaj, actually your citizens, they adopted evil means. So in order to teach them a lesson, I have actually hidden all the grains. By taking away all the grains. So it is not that I have some evil intention. In order to teach them some lesson, that is why I hid all the grains. In the 35th verse purport, Vishnu Acharya Thakur mentions that. In the 36th verse, Mother Earth says that actually I am completely bewildered by your activities, and because I am a creation of your energies, even the activities of your devotees cannot be understood. What to speak of understanding your activities? So the last paragraph Prabhupada just mentions to explain how the Lord's activities are inconceivable. Like sometimes a person may, the super soul may inspire a thief, so you must go and actually steal from this particular house at this particular time. The super soul may give guidance to the thief like that. But the same super soul may guide the people living at the house. So now the today night is thief may come. So you have to be very careful. So one may think like why the super soul is actually giving different kind of guidance. It seems contradictory. He says the best course is such activities of the Supreme Lord may appear contradictory, but we should not come to the conclusion though Lord acts in a whimsical, contradictory manner. The best course is to actually surrender to the Lord wholeheartedly, and being protected by Him, one will remain peaceful. That is the conclusion of this. So now, although Mother Earth has offered such beautiful prayers, Ritu Maharaj is actually still angry at Mother Earth. So we can see here how Ritu Maharaj is actually fixed in his purpose of satisfying the citizens who are actually suffering because of hunger. So Ritu Maharaj, the first thing, he did not get carried away by the external form of Mother Earth, who had taken the form of a cow. And secondly, Ritu Maharaj did not get carried away by the different arguments of Mother Earth. That how can you actually kill a woman? I am actually a sinless person. Moreover, I am actually supporting all the living entities. Ritu Maharaj did not get carried away with the arguments of Mother Earth. And thirdly, Ritu Maharaj did not even get carried away by the prayers of Mother Earth. He is actually fixed in his purpose of he was still not satisfied, because till this point Mother Earth, although she has offered prayers, but Mother Earth has not said anything, though I will actually give back the grains. So still Mother Earth, Ritu Maharaj is still angry. And then when seeing that Ritu Maharaj is continuing to be angry, then Mother Earth is actually now she will tell the reason for why she actually hid all those seeds and grains, and then she will actually tell the proper method by which those seeds can be taken out from the earth. So 18th chapter, we'll start. Maitreya Bhuvacha Ittam Prutum Avishtuya Rusha Prasfuritadaram Punar Ahavanirbita Samstabhyatmana Matmana.
The great Saint Maitreya continued to address Vidura. My dear Vidura, at that time, after the planet Earth finished her prayers, King Prithu was still not pacified, and his lips trembled in great anger. Although the planet Earth was frightened, she made up her mind and began to speak as follows in order to convince the king.
So we see, when one person is angry, if the other person also becomes angry, then it will actually worsen the situation. Like Mother Earth is, of course, Ritu Maharaj's anger is not an anger born out of the mode of passion. So Mother Earth is actually, she is using her intelligence, and she is trying to pacify Ritu Maharaj further. Or Srila Vishnu Chakotakur says that after fixing her mind by her intelligence, then Mother Earth again spoke.
Sanniyachabido manyum niboda shravitam chame sarvata saramadatte yata madukaro buddha.
My dear Lord, please pacify your anger completely and hear patiently whatever I submit before you. Please turn your kind attention to this. I may be very poor, but a learned man takes the essence of knowledge from all places, just as a bumblebee collects honey from each and every flower.
So Mother Earth is she's saying that please control your anger and please hear from me. Even if you consider that I am actually I am not qualified to speak, or I am a low person, but still the nature of intelligent people or nature of advanced people is that they take the essence from anywhere. Nanu Dveshti Kalim Samrat Sarango Iva Sarabuk. Kushalan. Sarango Iva Sarabuk. So here, just as a bumblebee collects honey from each and every flower, you please actually try to understand, take the essence from whatever I am going to speak. So this is like the right mood. So like sometimes like we may have to speak somebody more elevated and advanced, some seniors are present, but this is like the right mood of speaking where the Mother Earth is saying that, admitting that she is actually very a poor creature, or she is little low, but still she says that since you are actually great, you can actually understand, take out the essence from whatever I am speaking.
Asmilloke tavamushmin munibhis tattva darshibihi drishta yoga prayuktascha pumsam shreya prasiddhaye.
To benefit all human society, not only in his life but in the next, the great seers and sages have prescribed various methods conducive to the prosperity of the people in general.
So asmil loke athava amushmin. So munibis tattva darshibi, the great sages, in order to get prosperity in this life and in the next life, they have given various methods for people in general. The various methods are like the great sages, in order to attain prosperity in this life, they have given proper methods of agriculture. And in order to attain prosperity in the next life, they have given proper processes of sacrifice. So she is saying that one should, basically her mood is that you please follow the proper method given by the great sages. So Prabhupada writes a brilliant purport to these verses. So first, from the first paragraph, Prabhupada talks about the importance of following Shruti and Smriti. He doesn't quote the exact Sanskrit verse, but then this verse comes, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatrika Vidim Vina Aikantiki Harer Bhakti Utpata Yaiva Kalpate. In the Nectar of Devotion, the fourth principle of sadhana bhakti, thing, Sadhu Vartmanu Gamanam. So for that Rupa Goswami quotes this particular verse from Brahma Yamal. So when a person practices either spiritual life or even material life without following the injunctions of the Shruti and Smriti, it will only create disturbance. So Prabhupada says that taking guidance of the Shruti and Smriti, it is not only for the spiritual life, even for the material life. That if a person poses himself as an advanced in spiritual life but does not refer to the Shrutis and Smritis, he is simply a disturbance in society. So in this regard, if you read Bhakti Rasama Sindhu, that Prabhupada's purport, the Nectar of Devotion, and also the original Bhakti Rasama Sindhu, Vishnu Chakatagur gives the example of Buddha. So why we actually do not accept, why we do not worship Buddha? Because he had actually rejected the Vedas. He rejected the Vedas. So because, although he is an incarnation of the Lord, because he rejected the Vedas, we actually don't worship Buddha. Because he preached atheism. Atheism means, in the sense, rejecting the Vedas. And then, after telling about the importance of Shruti and Smriti, then Prabhupada explains that the most important smriti which a human society should follow is Manu Smriti. The smriti given by Manu, the leader of, the father of mankind. And then the next paragraph, continuing the same tone, he mentions, according to Manu Smriti, it is mentioned that a woman should not remain independent and should always remain under the care of the father or a son or a husband. And he says, then he talks about this point that presently women are given full independence like men. But when women are independent, they cannot be happy. When they are actually dependent on others, then they can be happier compared to when they are actually independent. And then Prabhupada explains, so the whole theme of the purport is that one should follow the standard ways of life which are actually given in the Vedic scriptures. But presently people are manufacturing their own different ways and means to be happy. Consequently, human society has lost the standard ways of life, both materially and spiritually, and as a result people are bewildered and there is no peace or happiness in this world. Although they are trying to solve the problems of human society, they are still baffled. So if you see, even in our daily, day-to-day life, we want to follow something which is tried and tested, which is something authorized. We don't want to follow something very new. But especially people have this kind of attitude with respect to the scriptures. Like suppose, a simple example, somebody goes to a restaurant and he sees a menu card and then he sees one particular soup, some ting chons, some Chinese soup or something. He's saying that, oh please give me that soup. Then the waiter comes and says that, oh we are so happy that since the time the restaurant opened, for the past 5 years nobody has ordered this soup. We are so happy that you are ordering this soup for the first time. So then this person will, if he says, oh, I am ordering for the first time, that means like I am the first person to actually taste this soup. So one will actually think twice. Like usually we want to do something which is tried and tested. Like somebody who they are known to actually make this soup nicely or something. They are going to make me as an experiment for actually feeding this soup. So in our sense, in our common way, common day-to-day life, we don't want to, when we want to join a college or something, we don't want to join something a college is opened just 1 month back. We want to join a college which is actually running successfully for many years, just actually authorized by people. But when it comes to scriptures, although it has been, the great sages have given different methods for how to actually live in this world with great prosperity, but we don't want to follow those ways. We want to actually invent our own ways. So then Prabhupada, then the third paragraph, he actually comments on the word Amushmin. So that means, by following the ways of the great sages, we can attain prosperity in this life and also in the next life. But unfortunately, many people who pose themselves as scholars, but they don't even believe in next life. Especially after Prabhupada returned from Russia, in many conversations, many lectures, he would again and again quote, so there is a great authority of religion in the Russian big university, but he does not even believe in life after death. So he points out that point about life after death. So next verse.
Tan atishtati yahasam yak upayan purva darshitan avarashraddha yopeta upayan vindatenjasa.
One who follows the principles and the instruction enjoined by the great sages of the past can utilize this instruction for the practical purposes. Such a person can very easily enjoy life and pleasures.
So avara means the inexperienced person or a foolish person. But although a person will be inexperienced, but if he puts faith in the right authorities, Shraddhayopeta, then he very easily attains Upayan Vindate Anjasa. He can very easily attain the desired results by following the methods shown by the previous authorities, Purva Darshitan. Tan Atishtati Yaha Samyak Upayan Purvadarshitan. By following the Upayas, the method shown by the previous authorities, even with faith, an inexperienced person can attain the results very easily. So we see that the Vedic scriptures, they actually, they help us to attain prosperity in this life and also in the next life. They help us attain prosperity in this life and also in the next life. Just like 3.10, what it was. Please perform the sacrifices by which you perform prosperity in this life and also in the next life, the Bhagavad Gita. So, so that point is again mentioned here. So in the case of in the word avara means inexperienced. The conditioned soul is called as inexperienced because he has got the four defects. But even though we may be inexperienced, if we follow in the footsteps of those people who are actually liberated, who are free from the four defects, we can actually attain perfection. So therefore Prabhupada talks about the following the standard methods. Next verse. Tan anadritya yo vidvan artan arabate swayam tasya vyabicharantyartha arabdascha punah punah.
A foolish person who manufactures his own ways and means through mental speculation and does not recognize the authority of the sages who lay down unimpeachable direction is simply unsuccessful again and again in his attempts.
So the third and fourth verse, she talked about the importance of following the right authorities and following the Shruti and Smriti. Now in the fifth verse, she says the result of not following the right authorities and simply trying to manufacture one's own ways. And such a person, what's the result? Arabdasya puna punaha. He will actually simply be unsuccessful again and again. So Prabhupada explains that at present it has become a fashion to actually disobey the authorities. Just like when Prabhupada went, among the hippies there was the concept, do not actually accept anybody who is above 30. So a conditioned soul is hampered by the four defects, so consequently we have to take directions from the liberated persons. So Krishna conscious woman directly receives instructions from the Supreme Personality of Godhead by a person who are strictly following his instructions. So he said, although a follower may not be a liberated person, but if he follows the liberated person, his actions will be liberated from the contamination of the material nature. Just like Prabhupada would say, I may be a pauper, a peon may be a pauper, but he can deliver $1,000,000 to us. The peon may be a very poor person, but or a postman can be a very poor person, but the postman can deliver $1,000,000 simply if he is just executing the duties. Similarly, Prabhupada would say, although I may be actually inexperienced, I may be actually contaminated, but because I am trying to follow the right authorities, so you will become perfect by following the instructions. So then, from the 6th to 11th verse, in 6 verses, Mother Earth tells the how the grains can be actually taken out. In this 6th and 7th verse, she tells the reason for why she had actually hidden the grains. Pura srishta kyoshadayo brahmana yavishampate bujyamana mayadrishta asadbir adritavrataihi.
My dear king, the seeds, roots, herbs and grains which were created by Lord Brahma in the past are now being used by non-devotees who are devoid of all spiritual understanding.
So many of these purports Prabhupada talks about. So she is saying, I hid all those grains because people were not performing yajna. The grains were used by non-devotees who were not trying to satisfy the Lord. So that means the purpose of creation, the purpose of food grains, everything is ultimately to perform yajna for the satisfaction of the Lord. When people were using the grains, or when people were using any facilities for that matter, for their own sense gratification, then that will be just taken away. It is just a matter of time. So these purports, Prabhupada talks about the importance of the performance of yajna for the satisfaction of the Lord. Otherwise, the earth will stop producing food grains. And then Prabhupada, in the second paragraph, he comments on this word, asadbir adritavratai. Because at present, the herbs and grains were used by non-devotees. Asadbir adritavratai, those who are not fixed in the proper vows. So Prabhupada says, non-devotees are described in the Gita as namam dushkritino muda prapadyante naradama. Maya Pagata Jnana Asuram Bhava Mashrita. So yeah,
yes. This pastime of Prithu Maharaj, it appears that it is happening in Satyuga. Him being a descendant of Dhruv Maharaj, in the linear genealogy is explained, then Dhruv Maharaj is in Satyuga. So generally the conception is that Satyuga is the age where there is all the four pillars are available. And gradually as age deteriorates, one pillar diminishes. And that's how we see in Kali Yuga. But in this pastime we see quite contradictory that, you know, it has gone to the extent that earth has stopped producing grains, which is not even the situation by far in Kali Yuga. So one is that how to understand this kind of contradiction happening in Satyuga. Because the general understanding of Satyuga is that there is more truthfulness, more religiosity, and occasionally there are some demons which cause disturbance, but the Lord is also more focused on, and those are the best people, we say, you know, Kali Yuga are the those who couldn't pass in Satyuga, Treta, they are the lowest fallen people. They are there in Kali Yuga. So how to understand
one is
this?
That it is described that Satyuga people are religious, it means that it refers to the majority of the part of the Satya Yuga. It's like in the 14th chapter when Krishna talks about the different modes, the characteristics of a person, goodness, passion and ignorance. So he says that the Acharyas explain that actually when it is mentioned this person is the mode of goodness, he will also be sometimes in the mode of passion and ignorance also. But prominent mode in that person is that mode of goodness or passion or ignorance. So similarly, I feel the same understanding, Satya Yuga, that the prominently people are actually religious, but there may be certain periods during that time, just like in the case of King Vena. So irreligion was prominent. So at certain period it becomes prominent. In that sense, but majority of the time Satya Yuga was definitely people were religious.
Here says that, you know, in the 6th verse she says that the grains and herbs are being used by non-devotees, which are devoid of all understanding, spiritual understanding. And she is also being neglected and not properly maintained. So majority of the people are the non-devotees kind of people, which is very difficult to imagine in the situation of Satyuga, even though it may be, you know, it is a little, it seems little out of context how all of a sudden in Satyuga golden age is going on and so all of a sudden everybody turns non-devotee, and then Treta Yuga is like, you know, little mild and so
that is mainly because King Vena and then the absence of a king. So because it's not that because in the absence of a king, then there was nobody to actually correct the people, and the religion became prominent. So
pastimes like Hiranyakashipu, and we see in the case of Lord Ramchandra's pastime also, that although there are big demons, like Veda is not such a big demon also, but there are bigger than him demons, but still the satvatas, they remain devotees only. They don't convert to becoming irreligious. Rather, they in fact, they do so many more sacrifices that God has to appear also. In that
sense. Even in Vena's time, there were devotees who were present, but Vena was definitely a big demon. He is not like Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, in the sense that he was not absorbed in enmity towards the Lord. Shishupal, Dantavakra, they achieved the shelter of the Lord because they were absorbed in enmity towards the Lord. But Vena, he was definitely a very great demon, but he didn't have that absorption in the Lord. So therefore, he did not actually attain that the same destination as Shishupal or Dantavakra. But he was definitely a very powerful demon. So, we cannot judge the whole Satya. In each yuga, there will be at certain time definitely irreligion maybe becomes predominant. So the Lord appears, but the majority of the time in Satya Yuga, people are good, but it tends to decline. So that in the beginning of Treta Yuga, only 75% of dharma was there. I feel like that.
Beautiful verses about the importance of sticking to the Shruti and the Smriti.
Hmm.
You know, and Prabhupada very gravely speaks about how manufacturing modern ways have ruined the world. You know, here I always used to get a question about a woman's subordinate position. Forget about the world outside. Even within our society, often it is found that women are spiritually much stronger many places, and the husbands are often very weak. Probably because husbands are the breadwinners, you know, all day they are out, and the woman is a household lady, and she does a lot of seva in the temple and hears many classes. So the women become spiritually very surcharged and strong, and they are not attracted to, you know, materialistic things. On the other hand, we find the husbands are very weaklings, you know, and I have seen with my own eyes, in many couples, the woman gives shelter to the husband, you know, and the husband and the husband's realizations are also not very great, you know, because he is still, his mustache is not gone, and you know, his French beard is still hanging. So we find that you know, in such a situation, when we read purports like this, sometimes I wonder, you know, how can any spiritually advanced woman be inspired to take shelter of such a man? In fact, that man is incapable of offering shelter. He himself is shelterless, actually. He is not taking shelter. So, the Manusamhita application is absolutely valid, provided the husband is very surcharged in spiritual life, because women also admire the spiritually advanced husbands. Because they are sense controlled, you know, and they are also controlled in mind, and also they are relishing the higher taste. Then women naturally feel attraction for a man who is not chasing after them for sense education. You know. But such is not the case. I am not only telling in one particular yatra or anywhere. I have found it many places, actually. So how can we flatly apply this rule that Manusamhita says it? So then we just you know, apply it, say, telling the woman, you may be spiritually advanced, but another why I ask this question, in the Saman Canto Prahlad Maharaj section, there is one verse which says wife should not follow a fallen husband or something like that. There is one statement, you know. So sometimes the wives tolerate materialistic husbands, you know, who are not interested in spiritual life, but the women are themselves well situated in spiritual life. But they don't diverse and all, but they are unable to get inspiration from them. On the other hand, you know, because they are also taught that they should not leave a husband who supports them materially. So they just continue. But if you tell such a woman, that you take shelter of husband and see him as a role model, it becomes difficult for them. She can see husband as God from a material point of view, but a spiritual point of view, it is difficult for them. So when I see this kind of the custody, another question also comes about from material platform. If you see, the men have become extremely exploited. They are beating the wives many places there, sometimes burning and all those things, you see like that. So then the woman also realized the need for standing on their own legs and doing some job, and out of their need actually, not that they would want to do like that. And like once I was giving some Bhagavatam study circle, I was telling about strongly about how if a woman is submissive to the husband, there will be no need of divorce. So there were about 40-50 men, women sitting in the lecture, and one diverse lady happened to be there. So she was she went back after the lecture and started crying to one Mataji. I think Prabhuji was probably addressing me only. I didn't even know that she was diverse actually. But there are women who have their causes. They say that why they divorced a man out of because of the cruelty of the man and everything. So I used to always think, whenever we talk on such subjects, understanding and realizing the modern day scenario, can't these things be presented in a very conditional way? If the husband is spiritually advanced, then your wife should be sheltered. That is the reason why Prabhupada started the Brahmacharini Ashram also, no? In the West.
It's true.
Yeah. When we read this purpose, we only see, that woman should be under the father or the husband or the son and things like that. Yeah.
Which verse? Seventh verse. Apalitanadrata bhavadbir lokapalakai chori bhuteta lokeham yajnarte grasamoshadi. So she says that not only people were not performing yajna, and I was also not being maintained properly. So therefore I have hidden all these seeds meant for the performance of sacrifice. So Prabhupada says that one who actually utilizes the grains for one's own sense gratification, and for that matter anything for one's own sense gratification without offering to the Lord, such a person is a thief. And government is actually supposed to punish such a thief. If the government does not punish such a thief, then then the earth actually gives further punishment by taking away all those things. So he says that at the end of Kali Yuga, the situation will degenerate to such an extent that people, what to speak of now, it may be, the case may be like people may be taking the grains, but they are not offering to the Lord, or they are not performing yajna, they are not performing sankirtan yajna. But then the earth will take away those grains. Then the situation will degenerate to such an extent that people will actually not just eat animals, they will actually kill and eat their own offsprings. So that is how the Kali Yuga will degenerate too. They are already killing animals for flesh. And when there will no longer be grains, they will kill their own sons and fathers and eat their flesh for sustenance. So now from 8th to 11th verse, Mother Earth tells how to take out those grains. Noonam ta viru dakshina mayi kalena bhuyasa tatra yogena drishtena bhavan adatu marhati.
Due to being stalked for a very long time, all the grain seeds within me have certainly deteriorated. Therefore, you should immediately arrange to take these seeds out by the standard process, which is recommended by the acharyas or shastras.
So, Prabhupada says that you should take out those grains by the standard process. The standard process to actually to produce food grains is that the performance of yajna. And then another point which is explained is that using tractors for the production of grains is not a standard process. Many atheists will not believe in the spiritual method of producing grains, but rather whether they believe it or not, the fact remains that we are not independent to produce grain by mechanical means. So we can see two points are being highlighted. One is that the performance of yajna is a standard process, and then even while doing agriculture or something, it's not that do not actually use the some artificial manufactured process of like using machines or something, but use a standard process of agriculture. So that is another point which Prabhupada explains here. So again this point of like one who does not perform yajna is considered a thief and is punishable. That point is highlighted again and again. So 9th and 10th verse. Because I don't have statistics, but in general I have heard tractors and fertilizers, etc. They came into practice during the Second World War. They were actually used for Second World War. After the Second World War, they felt like now so many things were created. Now, how should we actually utilize them? So those chemicals were actually created initially for destruction. And tractors was also initially created for created for the purpose of war, and then in order to make use of that, they started using this one. So something which was started, which was manufactured for creation, destruction, cannot be used for creation. So I don't have the statistic, but I think other devotees who are into that particular field, they will be able to explain properly. We have to see from a really long-term point of view. From a short-term point of view, maybe the productivity might increase. But from a long-term point of view, the quality of the soil will go down, and then after some time, you will be forced to put more and more actually chemicals. You become more and more dependent on other factors. Just to get your meal of rice, you have to be dependent on tractors. That means you are dependent on petrol, you are dependent on some other Arabian country. So the more you become dependent on other factors, like Prabhupada explained in the third canto, Kardama Muni and Swayambhu Manu in that conversation, the more you become dependent on other countries or Western civilization, then that results in the degradation of Arunachal society. So that is from seeing from one angle. Another thing is that use of tractors, one of the things which Prabhupada would say is that when you use the tractors, like so many services which can be rendered by the cows and bulls, especially by the bulls in the case of, And they lose their employment. So Prabhupada, whenever he would see tractor, he would think that bulls will actually lose their employment. He will think like men also they will also lose their employment. So in that sense, and then when they are actually unemployed, then we feel that as a burden, and then we actually kill them. And then when they are actually cows and bulls are killed, and that leads to so many diseases. Non-purport Prabhupada says, why the diseases are increasing? because so many cows and bulls are slaughtered. And then because you are maintaining them for actually only for slaughtering them. And they don't give milk with affection because they know that this person is actually maintaining for only for slaughtering. And then, so that milk is simply a chemical. And when people don't drink proper quantity milk and proper quality milk, and that is the reason that lifespan also decreases. One purport in the 8th canto Prabhupada says, the reason why the lifespan is decreasing in Kali Yuga is that people are not drinking sufficient quantity of milk. So in that sense it can be, we can see from different angles. So, but productivity point of view, you have to see really from a long term point of view. You just increase the productivity in a short term, and then after some years the land becomes completely useless, it can't produce anything, then what is the use of it? Tractors, we can see from the point of view of employment for the bulls.
Actually it kills the earthworm in the soil. So many earthworms get killed by the tractor. So actually earthworm is very friendly for farmers.
Okay.
It rejuvenates the soil. But while using the bulls, it doesn't kill the earthworm.
Okay.
So that is very important, because earthworm in a long term it just recycles the soil.
Mm-hmm.
But in modern tractor it kills the all the earthworm.
Mm-hmm.
So in a long run it doesn't good for a soil. So that was one point I remember in one of the books, Susma Swaraj, by one devotee. He wrote about the tractor. So many points are there, but just I am remembering this one point. So many points.
If we use the bulls and cows, we get gobar, like shenkat. That's why we, and as soon as we put that in field, that enhances the fertility of the soil. This is a more one added point.
Mm-hmm.
In case of tractor, it destroys the all fertility of the soil, because you can see when tractors runs on the soil, it uplifts so much, like from the there is some layers in the soil, so he just destroys. He just like bull. जैसे कि नीचे एकदम नीचे पर अलग अलग लेवल रहते हैं सॉइल के, तो सॉइल पे एकदम पूरा हार्म करके वो नीचे का एकदम ऊपर लेके आता है.
अच्छा.
और मगर बुल का जो फ्लोर रहता है वो इतना नीचे नहीं जाएगा, तो ऊपर से ऊपर जितना, और इसीलिए वो रिसाइकल सॉइल रिसाइकल मुझे होती रहती है. और दूसरी बात यह है कि बुल यूज करने से हम गोबर मिलता है, और गोबर मिलने से हम फिर से वो खेत में डाल सकते हैं, मगर ट्रैक्टर यूज करने से गोबर नहीं मिलता.
I have one small point. There is a very subtle reason. See, Prabhupada says here, now of course atheists will not believe in the spiritual method of producing grains. But whether they believe or not, the fact remains that we are not independent to produce grain by mechanical means. Prabhupada writes that. So, if you very carefully observe, there are two ways to do anything in this world. One is the standard approved way given by God. Another one is some innovated way, speculative way, which may apparently produce big results in a short time, which man may think I am more smarter than God. So the problem with the second one is, although it produces some instant results, just like nowadays we have instant idli, instant gulab jamun and everything they have. Similarly, we get some instant results, but long-term repercussions which ensue over a period of time are so disastrous. For instance, when the man used the tractor, the reason he used tractor was to speed up the, two reasons. One is to speed up the process of tilling the land and making it. And another thing is to have a small piece of land and produce more. You know, so that in other lands can be used for tobacco. You know, so tobacco gives much more profit margin than the grain. So this is his own plan. It's not God's plan. God actually wants us to use the field for grains, but he makes tobacco. Now, when the land is not growing fast, then he puts fertilizer. And then 3-4 years it comes out well and the land burns out and it doesn't produce anymore. That's one thing. But besides that, we can easily observe a mood of exploitation from the earth. It's like, you know, snatching from Mother Earth to get things done at a much faster pace. And because of that, today, if you see the milk that is sold in the market, which comes as packet milk, you know, nowadays I heard they add this sabudana in the milk. So sometimes people think the milk is so thick, very nice, but it is actually sabudana. If you throw it on the wall, it sticks actually. you know, and milk, what all items they are adding now? You know, they are adding so many things. Yeah. In fact, Kanakumar Prabhu was telling, they add things which, if people are they are testing the dairies, you know, that will escape the test. That kind of item they are adding, so that they will pass the test also as something which is considered like milk. At the same time, it is not good for the health also. So such a high level, high scale cheating is going on now, and all this cheating originates from the original problem of not performing yajna, you know, not getting the rains coming from the cloud, and then not cultivating using the bull, and also the empty farmers now have so much time, they are watching TV, and their mind and senses are not going to keep quiet, you know, and they will create havoc also, and watching TV produces so much greed, they will want to you know, seduce women and loot the public, and all kinds of things increase. So actually there is God's way, there is speculated way. And speculated way, no matter how, so speculated way is like a beautiful prostitute. You know, God's way is like a chaste wife. You know, we have to make the choice what we want to follow.
Usage of animals, cattle is that a living entity is involved in producing grains which will give life. So Govind Prabhu was telling one thing, that you know how different it is from using a car versus using a bullock cart. So he was telling, if you sleep in a car, then what is the result? That one will meet with death. But if he is on a bullock cart and he sleeps, nothing is going to happen. The bullock cart will definitely reach to the house and stand there for 10, you know. So that is the difference when soul to soul. When soul-to-soul connection is involved, then there is always life. Whereas when a machine is involved, there could be death.
Bullock carts.
Vatsam kalpaya me veera yenaham vatsalatava dokshe kshiramayam kaman anurupam cha dohanam dogdaram cha mahabaho bhutanam bhutabhavana
अन्नम ईप्सितम ऊर्जस्वत भगवान वांछते यदि.
ओ ग्रेट हीरो प्रोटेक्टर ऑफ लिविंग एंटिटीज, इफ यू डिजायर टू रिलीव द लिविंग एंटिटीज बाय सप्लाइंग देम सफिशिएंट ग्रेन एंड इफ यू डिजायर टू नरिश देम बाय टेकिंग मिल्क फ्रॉम मी, you should make arrangements to bring a calf suitable for this purpose and a pot in which the milk can be kept, as well as a milkman to do the work. Since I will be very much affectionate towards my calf, your desire to take milk from me will be fulfilled.
So Mother Earth is she is telling that you should bring a calf, a milkman and a pot for actually keeping the milk. And since I will be affectionate to the calf and I will produce the milk and your purpose will be fulfilled. So like if you read this analogy comes the fifth canto, the descendants of Maharaj Priyavrata. So Sukadeva Goswami describes the character of Maharaj Gaya. So in that he says that this Maharaj Gaya, you are such a wonderful king that Mother Earth, being attracted by the qualities of Maharaj Gaya, she produced all the necessities in a profuse quantity. And Maharaj Gaya, because he was self-satisfied, he used all the necessities which Mother Earth produced for actually satisfying the needs of all the citizens. So there Earth is compared to a cow, and the qualities of Maharaj Gaya were compared to the calf. So usually the traditional or the proper method is that you milk a cow by actually bringing a calf. Of course nowadays the people in the modern slaughterhouses with the help of machines they try to actually bring out the milk of the cow. That's not nonsense. It's a chemical milk. Because milk means it is the affection of the cow. So by drinking that such chemical milk, nonsense, people will definitely get a lot of diseases. Yeah, next verse.
Samam chakuru mam rajan deva vrishtam yatapayaha. अपर्ताव अपि भद्रम ते उपावर्ते तत् मे विभो.
So she is telling another thing that you should level the surface of the earth. Means like you should break the hills and this one you should make the... Because when the surface of the earth is actually leveled, then that is actually conducive for agriculture. Where it will hold the water. The surface will remain moistened. Otherwise when there is ups and downs, and it will not hold the water, it will not be conducive for agriculture. So she is giving this instruction to level the surface of the earth. So now Prithu Maharaj, he starts actually, now the rest of the chapter describes how first Prithu Maharaj, he actually, he brought out all the different grains and vegetables from the Mother Earth by making Swayambhu Manu into a calf and making his own cupped hands as a milking pot. And then not only Prithu Maharaj, he brought out the grains, but so many other great personalities from all over the universe by making the different representatives from their own community as the calf, and they also got whatever they desired from the Mother Earth. The demigods, they would get Somaras from Mother Earth. The demons, they would get some wine from Mother Earth, and the Gandharvas and Apsaras, they would get musical art from Mother Earth. So in this way, So here Prabhupada writes in this purport that even though the earth being in the shape of a cow may be taken figuratively, the meaning herein is very explicit. Just as a calf can derive milk from a cow, all living entities can receive their respective foods from the planet earth, provided that human beings are not asat or adrita vrata, as we have previously discussed. So the one point is that we see that when the calf comes in front of the cow, not only the calf is benefited, but actually others are also benefited. Where the cow, out of affection towards the calf, gives the milk, then others are also benefited. So here Prabhupada says that when the human beings are actually demoniac, then others also get affected. Because the human beings are demoniac, they don't perform yajna, the demigods are also disadvantaged. But when the human beings, when they actually follow the proper method of yajna, then everyone becomes satisfied. So we see here in this chapter, not only Mother Earth supplied the necessities for the human beings, in fact Mother Earth supplied the necessities for all the people all over the universe. Because of such a great king like Prithu Maharaj. So that is clearly brought out in this chapter. Iti priyam hitam vakyam bhuva adaya bhupatihi vatsam kritva manum pana aduhat sakalaushadihi.
After hearing the auspicious and pleasing words of the planet Earth, king accepted them. He then transformed Swayambhu Manu into a calf and milk all the herbs and grains from the earth in the form of a cow, keeping them in his cupped hands.
Tata parecha sarvatra saram adadate buddha tatonyecha yata kamam duduhu prutubhavitam.
After hearing the auspicious and pleasing words of the planet, others who were as intelligent as King Prithu also took the essence out of the earthly planet. Indeed, everyone took this opportunity to follow in the footsteps of King Prithu and get whatever he desired from the planet Earth.
So, Prithu Maharaj, he transformed Swayambhu Manu into a calf. It's not whether he actually took the form of a calf or it's not exactly it's mentioned. Just Prabhupada just says that even though the earth being in the shape of a cow may be taken figuratively, the meaning herein is very explicit. So we have to understand the principle that Mother Earth seeing the representative calf from each and every community, she actually produced their own necessities. So for each of these different personalities, so then after following the Prithu Maharaj, he just wanted to get food grains from Mother Earth because the citizens were starving. But not only Prithu Maharaj, the citizens were actually satisfied finally. Even people from all over the universe, they were satisfied. So now the rest of the chapter describes from different parts of the universe, different people came and who was the calf in that particular community, and what did they extract from Mother Earth as the milk, and what was the milking part in which they actually they carried that milk. So that is described here. So here Vishnu Chakravartakura explains, just as Prithu Maharaj accepted the essence of the earth's words and doing that achieved his desired results, others also, being intelligent, did the same thing. So then he mentions, the principle which we learn from here is that intelligent people take the essence in the words of all people at all times. Intelligent people means they take out the essence from all times at all places. So the word duduhu prutu bhavitam. Prithu Bhavita means Mother Earth became completely devoted to Prithu. So therefore she gave everything to Prithu. And then she also gave everything whatever others needed also. So Prabhupada here again, repeatedly Prabhupada explains that the solution for peace and prosperity is yajna. And then he will mention the yajna which is to be performed in Kali Yuga is Sankirtan yajna. So that he mentions repeatedly in the purports. So in this purport Prabhupada says, the intelligent people should follow Sankirtan Yajna. And when the intelligent people follow the Sankirtan Yajna, then the face of the whole world will change. And people would be happy and prosperous. Fourteenth verse. Rishayo duduhur devim indriyesh ata sattama vatsam brihaspatim kritva Payas Chandomayam Shuchi.
The great sages transformed Brihaspati into a calf and making the senses into a pot, they milked all kinds of Vedic knowledge to purify words, mind and hearing.
So we'll just take a 5 minutes break and we'll continue. So here the Brihaspati was made into a calf, and the demigods, they milked different kinds of Vedic knowledge. So here Prabhupada says that it's not that we simply need food grains to just eat, but we also need Vedic knowledge. Like yesterday there was discussion about, like today morning also we're hearing the lecture, that it's not that simply we only distribute prasadam, but we also have to give spiritual knowledge, we have to give the holy name. So Prabhupada says, if human society remains satisfied simply by taking grains from the planet Earth, the society will not be sufficiently prosperous. They also need food for the mind and ear, as well as for the purpose of vibration. And the essence of all the Vedic vibrations is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So that is that's what the Prabhupada's purport is. It's like we have, there is food for the body and food for the mind. So there is hunger and pseudo hunger. So hunger is when you actually become hungry in the stomach. But pseudo hunger is a person is not hungry. Like sometimes a person, somebody is like watching a movie or some TV. He's not hungry, but he keeps eating. So that is actually pseudo hunger. So because the reason is that internally, the internal hunger of the soul is not satisfied. When the internal hunger is not satisfied, when that is not addressed, then we artificially become hungry for so many other things, although the body is not actually, we don't need them. So there is as I say, hunger and pseudo hunger. So as Prabhupada explains in that, jivasya kamasya nendriya pritir labo jiveta yavata jivasya tatva jagnyasa narto yascheha karma bihi. So he says the seekers of the absolute truth are never allured by unnecessary engagements in sense gratification, because the serious students seeking the absolute truth are always overwhelmed with the work of researching the truth. So because they are addressing the real hunger of the soul, they are so keeping themselves busy with researching the absolute truth, and they don't get carried away by sense gratification. The next verse, Kritva Vatsam Suragana Indram Somam Aduduhan Hiranmayena Patrena Viryam Ojo Balam Payaha.
All the demigods made Indra, the king of heaven, into a calf, and from the earth they milked the beverage Soma, which is nectar. Thus they became very powerful in mental speculation and bodily and sensual strength.
So here the demigods, they extracted, they milked Somaras by making Indra into a calf. So Prabhupada says that Somaras is not some kind of ordinary liquor which we see in this world. Soma is far different from the liquors made for demoniac people, as explained in the next verse. So why Prabhupada is saying here is that, because there are many Indologists, when they came to India, when they started studying the Vedic scriptures, they actually they started saying that like Somaras is a very some kind of in the Vedic scriptures they actually glorify Somaras in the performance of Yajna. There are different verses which glorify Somaras. But many of these Indologists, they started giving a statement that Somaras is not something great. Some kind of a liquor. They started downsizing or downgrading what was glorified in the scriptures. So Prabhupada is trying to address that point, that Somaras is far different from the liquors made for demoniac people. So many of these Indologists, in many of the purports, Prabhupada would address many of these views of the Indologists. What they did is, sometimes when it is mentioned Mahabharata, 64 crore people were actually fought. 64 crore people fought in that war. The Indologists, they actually downsize it by saying, it is not such a great war. It is just a small war. or sometimes they would say, so the Mahabharata is not written by one single person called Vyasadeva. Because they couldn't have the conception how can one person can write 1 lakh verses. So according to them, the only big book in the Western world was written by what was Socrates or different 800 this one. So they try to downsize, or sometimes they would say when you talk about like Mahabharata scripture, they were 5,000, they were written 5,000 years back. They would try to actually downgrade by saying, oh, it's not 5,000 years old, just 1,000 years old or 2,000 years old. And then sometimes about Somaras, which is glorified in the scriptures, they try to say, oh, Somaras is some kind of, it's another type of liquor. So Prabhupada is trying to address that. Like one place, the Max Muller, he said, like sannyasi is, one of the duties of a sannyasi is to control the senses, go dhamana. But he mentioned, the sannyasi, duty of a sannyasi is that they should kill cow every day. Go dhamana. He translated like. In that way, many times they actually misinterpret. So Prabhupada is trying to address that point here. Indologists, those were sent by the British government in order to break the faith of the Indians in the Vedic culture, they appointed them to actually interpret the Vedic scriptures in such a way that people will lose the faith in the Vedic scriptures in their culture.
Daiteya Danava Vatsam Praladam Asurarshabam Vidaya Duduham Kshiram Ayapatre Surasavam.
So the Somaras was carried in a golden pot, but here this liquor which the demons wanted, that was actually placed in an iron pot. So this shows the Somaras is superior, this liquor is actually inferior.
Gandharvapsaraso dukshan patre padmamaye payaha Vatsam Vishwavasum Kritva Gandharvam Madhusaubhagam.
The inhabitants of Gandharva Loka and Apsara Loka made Vishwavasu into a calf, and they drew the milk into a lotus flower pot. The milk took the shape of a sweet musical art and beauty.
Vatsena Pitaroryam Na Kavyam Kshiram Adukshata Amapatre Mahabhaga Shraddaya Shraddha Devata.
The fortunate inhabitants of Pitraloka who preside over the funeral ceremonies made Aryama into a calf. With great faith they milked the kabya, food offered to the ancestors, into an unbaked earthen pot.
So Prabhupada, in this purport, he talks about the importance of performing Shraddha in order to deliver some forefathers who may have got a ghostly body. So ghosts are those people, those living entities, who have lot of desires, but they do not have a grass body to exercise those desires. So in order to free them from the subtle body, in order to facilitate them to actually get a grass body, the Shraddha is performed. So Prabhupada says that if one offers oblations with faith and devotion, either to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, or to his representative in Pitruloka, that is Aryama, one's forefathers will attain material bodies to enjoy whatever material enjoyment is due to them. So if a person becomes a ghost, one reason is because of sometimes premature suicide, premature death, or because of excessive attachment to the body, So in this way, somebody becomes a ghost. Next verse.
Prakalpyavatsam kapilam siddha sankalpanamayim siddhim nabasi vidyamcha yecha vidyadaradaya.
After this, the inhabitants of Siddha Loka as well as the inhabitants of the Vidyadhara Loka transformed the great sage Kapila into a calf, and making the whole sky into a pot, they milk out specific yogic mystic powers, beginning with anima. Indeed, the inhabitants of the Vidyadhara Loka acquire the art of flying in the sky.
The Siddha Loka inhabitants, they got different mystic powers. The residents of Vidyadhara Loka, they got the power to fly by milking Mother Earth. So Prabhupada in this purport, he talks about mystic powers, and he says Kapila Dev was a exponent of Sankhya philosophy. His father Kardama Muni was a great yogi who produced an airplane which contained a big city with gardens and lakes, etc. Anye cha mayino mayam antardana bhutatmanam mayam prakalpya vatsam te duduhur dharanamayim.
Others also, the inhabitants of the planet known as Kimpurusha Loka, made the demon Maya into a calf, and they milk out mystic powers by which one can disappear immediately from another's vision and appear again in a different form.
So Kimpurusha Loka, residents of Kimpurusha Loka, they got the mystic power of disappearing at one's own will. Dharana Mayim. And then the Yakshas, Rakshasas, ghosts and witches, they transformed Rudra into a calf and milked out beverages made of blood and put them in a pot made of skulls. And we can see was hearing a beautiful class of Sulana Radhana Swami Maharaj. So he was mentioning just a few points which I just mentioned in regards to this particular chapter. So we see different people, demigods, they wanted Somaras, the demons, they wanted, they extracted liquor from the Mother Earth, the ghosts and Rakshasas, they actually milked like flesh, beverages made of blood and flesh by making Lord Shiva as a calf. So different people want to get intoxicated. So some people want to get intoxicated with success or fame or position. Some people want to get intoxicated with a somaras, which is a beverage in the mode of goodness. But some people want to get intoxicated with liquor. But then we want to get intoxicated with Krishna Prem, with the chanting of the holy names. So then he mentioned, so the most intoxicated person who was intoxicated with Krishna Prem was Nityananda Prabhu, who actually, he not only was intoxicated with love for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he also wanted to make others also intoxicated. So that is the intoxication we want to become intoxicated in that particular way. And another lesson we see here is that Mother Earth is actually reciprocating with so many different kinds of people, but according to their mentality. So from each of these different group of people, they became one representative of each particular group, they became a calf. Swayambhu Manu became a calf, Prihaspati became a calf, Indra became a calf, Rudra became a calf, Aryama became a calf. So Mother Earth, although each representative externally, each representative took the same form of a calf, but Mother Earth is giving different substances as the milk. So each of those representatives took the shape of a calf, but Mother Earth is reciprocating with them according to their mentalities. So the demons, one of them became a calf, but then Mother Earth gave what they wanted, liquor. So in that sense, he mentioned the point that he said that what is important is the mentality of a person and not the bodily symptoms.
because all of them became the same species of a calf, but because the mentalities were different, Mother Earth reciprocated differently by giving different things as the milk. So there, Srila Prabhupada also, when he gave, mentioned the point, when Prabhupada gave Brahman initiation, he did not see the external body, but he saw, oh, this person is taking to Krishna consciousness seriously. So by seeing the progress, Prabhupada gave the Brahman Diksha. So one has to see the mentality of the person and not the externally, one should not judge a person. And then he gave other examples of how Advaita Acharya, he did not see Haridas Thakur, oh, because he is just as being born in a Brahman family. But because he is actually addicted to chanting the holy names of the Lord, Advaita Acharya chose to actually offer him the first Shraddha Patra. And Lord Ram did not see Hanumanji externally in the form of a monkey, but Lord Ram saw his mentality, saw his attitude, so therefore he gave his mercy. So in this way, this is another point which he made, that how one should not, one should see the mentality of a person and not judge a person externally by seeing how Mother Earth gave different substances to different people, although each of them became the same, accepted the same form of a calf. And another point we see is that another thing is that different people, they wanted different things. The demigods, they wanted somaras, the demons, they wanted liquor. So in this world, what is one man's food, it may be a poison for other. All these are actually different kind, all these are living entity. The same spirit soul is present in, like, same spirit soul present in each and every body, but the spirit soul, because of the different degrees of contamination by the three modes of material nature, the different spirit soul is wanting different type of food. So we can see, although the same soul is present in each and every body, but they are wanting different food. So many varieties of food. One person is wanting somaras, another person is wanting some blood as a food. So then he mentioned the point, so material world is nothing but is a unlimited varieties of rebellion towards God. And spiritual world is nothing but unlimited varieties of service to God. So all these different people, somebody is rebelling God in the mode of, deeply in the mode of ignorance. So therefore he is wanting the food as blood. And somebody is rebelling God in the mode of goodness also. So he was wanting somaras. But there are actually different varieties of rebellion towards God. But spiritual world also there is variety. But there the everyone is wanting to serve God, but in different varieties. Like, for example, in certain places in the West, the greatest delicacy is actually to eat some fetus, which is something like unheard of in some other part of the world, actually, some other place. He was narrating that point, how when Prabhupada went to West, the Gopal, the Sally Agarwal, was actually feeding her little son Bridge. Was feeding her little son Bridge liquefied meat. Because there the conception was that if somebody says that, oh, if Maharaj was saying when he went to meet his parents after roaming in India, that I am a vegetarian, I don't eat meat. And the parents felt that, so that means you will die very soon. That means the whole country and the culture is made in such a way that when people they feel that when somebody says meat eating is bad, then that is like saying breathing is bad. So that is how actually the conception is given. So by the different degrees of contamination modes, different people, somebody thinks that, oh, this is without meat, even a small baby is given liquefied meat. Otherwise the parents think, oh, the baby will actually die or will not get proper nourishment. So that shows the actually extent of conditioning by the different modes.
And another thing we can see here is that, another point which he made is, Rudra is actually, Lord Shiva is a great Vaishnava. Prahlad Maharaj is actually such a great Vaishnava. And Prahlad Maharaj became a calf so that the demons can get liquor. And Rudra became a calf so that the Pishachas and Rakshasas can get actually blood. So we can see the accommodating nature, Krishna's accommodating nature, that Krishna appears in different forms in order to, like Krishna, Lord Shiva, greatest devotee of Lord Krishna, or we can say the Gunavatar of the Supreme Lord, in order to actually elevate, in order to help people who are actually in such a low grades of, low degrees of tamogun. This is another point which I had heard. So in this way we see that Mother Earth is actually reciprocating. We can read the translation, rest of the verses, 22nd verse.
Then the Yakshas, Rakshasas, ghosts and witches who are habituated to eating flesh transform Lord Shiva's incarnation, Rudra, into a calf and milk out beverage made of blood and put them in a pot made of skulls. Thereafter, cobras, snake without hoods, large snakes, scorpions and many other poisonous animals took poison out of the planet Earth as their milk and kept this poison in a snake holes. They made a calf out of Takshaka.
And one more point, that all of these people, they are getting their milk from the same source of Mother Earth. But they are getting their milk from the same source, but according to their mentality, they are getting different things. So similarly, whatever power we have, ultimately we are getting everything from Krishna. But according to our mentality, we can be either envious of other person or we can be tolerant. It's like Prahlad Maharaj told Hiranyakashipu, I am getting the power from the same source from which you are getting. But Prahlad Maharaj was completely non-envious and he was tolerant and forgiving. But Hiranyakashipu, although he was getting power from the same source, but he was so demoniac. So that is another point which he made. So you can read the next verses.
The four-legged animals like the cows made a calf out of the bull who carries Lord Shiva and made a milking pot out of the forest. Thus they got fresh green grasses to eat. Ferocious animals like tigers transformed a lion into a calf, and thus they were able to get flesh for milk. The birds made a calf out of Garuda and took milk from the planet Earth in the form of moving insects and non-moving plants and grasses.
So Prabhupada just talks about there are different kinds of birds. Some birds are actually vegetarian. Some birds can actually, there are certain birds which can even eat monkeys. Eagles are fond of eating goats. Like that, he talks about different varieties. Next verse.
The trees made a calf out of the banyan tree, and thus they derived milk in the form of many delicious juices. The mountains transformed the Himalaya into a calf, and they milked a variety of minerals into a pot made of the peaks of hills.
Next one.
The planet Earth supplied everyone his respective food. During the time of King Prithu, the Earth was fully under the control of the king. Thus all the inhabitants of the Earth could get their food supply by creating various types of cows and putting their particular types of milk in various pots.
So we see how Lord actually supplies the necessities of everyone. So when you treat the earth properly, when you treat the environment properly, then the Lord actually maintains everyone. He was supplying all the necessities through the medium of the planet Earth. And then he also explained that on the basis of these descriptions, how can one assume that there is no living entity on the moon? Every moon is earthly, being composed of the five elements. And every planet produces different types of food according to the needs of its residents. So in this way,
King Prithu and all others, they created different types of cows and milked out their respectable eatables. And then it is explained that Prithu Maharaj developed an affection towards Mother Earth, as if Mother Earth is his own daughter. So Vishnu Chakrathakur says that Prithu Maharaj, because Prithu Maharaj milked from Mother Earth, he did not consider Mother Earth as a wife. And because Prithu Maharaj was trying to punish Mother Earth, so he did not consider Mother Earth as the mother, but he out of affection, he considered Mother Earth as his own daughter. And then the next verse describes how Prithu Maharaj leveled the surface of the earth by breaking up the hills with the strength of his bow. Usually, the mountains will be leveled with the help of Indra's thunderbolt, the lightning or the Indra's thunderbolt. But in the case of Prithu Maharaj, because he was an empowered incarnation of the Lord, he could actually level the surface of the earth without the help of Indra with his own power. And then Prithu Maharaj, 30th verse is a beautiful verse. Prithu Maharaj, to all the citizens of the state, was as good as a father. And he was visibly engaged in giving them proper subsistence and proper employment for subsistence. So he was actually visibly engaged. It's not that he was just delegated to others. He was visibly engaged. And he not only gave them food grains for the subsistence, but he also gave them proper employment. So it's not that, as Radhanath Swami Maharaj always mentioned, cow protection is not simply protecting the cows, not allowing them to get killed, but actually giving them the feeling that they are actually cared for, giving them the feeling that, oh, I am also useful. I mean, like giving them some engagement. So then Prithu Maharaj, he marked the different places for residential quarters according to the qualifications of different people. Tatra tatra yata arhataha, according to the qualifications or qualities of different people, he gave different residences. So we see even in Mayapur, Prabhupada had given a plan that the Mayapur city, so Brahmana should stay in a particular place, Kshatriya should stay in, Vaishya should stay in a particular place, Shudra should stay in a particular place. So this planning is there. And King founded many types of villages, settlements and towns, and built forts, residences for cowherdsmen, stables for the animals, and places for royal camps, mining places, agricultural towns and mountain villages. So Vishnu Chakrathar explains what is actually a grama, village, and what is a patana, and what is a pura, etc. He may just explains. I will recite the last verse and then we will take a few verses of the next chapter also. Prakprutoriha naivaisha pura gramadi kalpana yatasukam vasantisma tatra tatra kutobaya.
Before the reign of King Prithu, there was no plan arrangement for different cities, villages, pasturing grounds, etc. Everything was scattered and everyone constructed his residential quarter according to his own convenience. However, since King Prithu, plans were made for towns and villages.
So here Prabhupada says that the city planning, it is not something which is newly invented by people. It has been present even during the Prithu Maharaj's time. So next chapter is King Prithu's 100 horse sacrifices. Maitreya Vuvacha Ata Dikshata Rajatu Hayameda Shatenasa Brahmavarte Manokshetre Yatra Prachi Saraswati.
The great sage Maitreya continued, "My dear Vidura, King Prithu initiated the performance of 100 horse sacrifices at the spot where the river Saraswati flows towards the east. This piece of land is known as Brahmavrat and it was controlled by Swayambhu Manu."
So Maitreya Rishi starts describing this pastime because Vidura had asked
why did Indra steal the horse meant for the sacrifice? So in regards to that, 19, you can say 20th and 21st, these chapters are all, is starting that narration of Prithumara's performance of Ashwamedha sacrifice, and then it goes till 21st chapter. Brahmavartana. Next verse. Tad abhipretya bhagavan karmatishayam atmanah shatakraturna mamrishe prutor yagyamahotsavam.
When the most powerful Indra, the king of heaven, saw this, he considered the fact that King Prithu was going to exceed him in fruitive activities. Thus Indra could not tolerate the great sacrificial ceremonies performed by King Prithu.
So it's a very beautiful purport. So when Prithu Maharaj started the sacrifices, Indra could not actually tolerate that Prithu Maharaj is performing these sacrifices. So Prabhupada writes about the point of envy here. Says that Indra, actually if you see, Prithu Maharaj was, when he was performing these sacrifices, he did not have any intention of becoming Indra, or he did not want to achieve some position or fame or something. He was performing these sacrifices only for the purpose of pleasing the Lord and for doing welfare for the citizens. But Indra, because he was attached to the position of being known as Shatakratu, one who has performed 100 Ashwamedha sacrifices, he thought that Prithu Maharaj is trying to occupy my position. So therefore, he became envious of Prithu Maharaj and he starts actually disturbing Prithu Maharaj performing the 100 Ashwamedha sacrifice. So, it's like envy actually blinds a person. Envy blinds a person to such an extent. Like Indra, he started disturbing this Ashwamedha sacrifice. In that sense, he actually started disturbing that activity which was meant to please the Lord and which is meant to do welfare for all the citizens. So a person can become so much blinded by envy or any of these anarthas that a person can become so self-censored that one becomes actually cruel, or one becomes stops those activities which are meant for the welfare of others and which are meant to please the Lord. In that sense, by his envy towards Prithu Maharaj, his envy towards the Lord is also indicated, because he is actually obstructing that activity which is meant to please the Lord. And that envy towards Prithu Maharaj is also resulting in cruelty towards all other, the general mass of people. So here Prabhupada says that no one in the material world can tolerate another's advancement, and everyone in the material world is called Matsara. So therefore in the beginning it is mentioned that Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for those who are Nirmatsara. So then he mentions, in other words, one who is not free from the contamination of envy cannot advance in Krishna consciousness. Cannot advance in Krishna consciousness. In Krishna consciousness, however, if someone excels another person, the devotee who is excelled thinks how fortunate the other person is to be advancing in devotional service. And such non-envy is a typical of Vaikuntha. I had asked this question about superior, how we can actually deal with this envy. So he said that one is, we have to deal with it on an immediate level. We should not allow that envy to actually come out in the form of doing something physically harming that person or doing something blaspheming that person. We should not allow it to actually come out in our acts or in our speech. And then on another level, we try to understand philosophically that how we should actually avoid envy, how Krishna
says that, oh, because you are non-envious, I am giving this knowledge. We have to understand that ultimately it is coming from Krishna. At least philosophically, intellectually, we try to understand that we have to actually become happy towards others' advancement in order to advance in Krishna consciousness. Actually, if you say envy means, it is nothing but indirect appreciation. So you are indirectly appreciating the person. So when you are anyway indirectly appreciating, why not appreciate directly? And then, on a third level, the ultimate level, like Maharaj was mentioning, he said that on ultimate level, we can actually, philosophically, we can try to understand how we should not be envious. But ultimately, in order to root out envy, we have to take complete shelter of the holy names of the Lord. So then only actually envy can go away. So, and we can see here, like another class, I don't know, Samar was explaining. He said that in this world, when somebody is actually attached to some wealth or some position, etc., even if he gets some friends in his life, after some time, he will start becoming suspicious of that person. Because he will start thinking, because of his attachment, he will start thinking, oh, maybe this person is also maybe wanting this from me. He will start becoming suspicious of that person. So then he said, so the only people whom we can actually, with whom we can have really true and deep friendship with, are those who are actually detached. So those who are actually detached. Because they are not wanting anything material. So that is why many times rich people, they can't have friendship with any other rich people, because they will start becoming suspicious of them. But sometimes they reveal themselves to sadhus. Nowadays there are so many sadhus who do so many wrong things. So they may become suspicious of sadhus also. But in general, they reveal themselves to sadhus because they understand, oh, this person is not, is completely detached from anything. So therefore, they try to develop friendship with sadhus. So therefore, to the degree we are attached, we can never have any true friendship with anybody, because after some time we will start actually, become suspicious of that person. Maybe he is also wanting what I have. So because of our attachment, we start thinking like this. So that is what Indra was thinking. Maybe Prithu Maharaj is wanting to occupy my position. Third verse.
Yatra yajnapatis sakshat bhagavan haririshwarah anvabhuyata sarvatma sarva loka guru prabhuhu.
Lord Vishnu is present in everyone's heart as the super soul, and he is the proprietor of all planets and the enjoyer of all results of all sacrifices. He was personally present at the sacrifices made by King Prithu.
So here, there are so many words. From third verse to the ninth verse, in seven verses, the glories of Prithu Maharaj's performance of the Ashwamedha sacrifices are described. How Prithu Maharaj, when he performed sacrifices, the earth was producing all the necessities profusely. The trees and the rivers and the mountains and the oceans, and everything was producing the necessities in the profuse quantity. And then it is also described in the third, fourth, fifth verse. So the Supreme Lord was personally present in the sacrifice of Prithu Maharaj, along with so many other demigods and Vidyadharas, Apsaras and Gandharvas. That is described. So in this verse, so many different words which describe the Supreme Lord. Bhagavan, Hari, Hari means one who takes away all the miseries. Ishwara, the Supreme Controller. Sarvatma, one is situated as a super soul in everyone's heart. And one who is the guru of the whole world, Sarva Loka Guru Prabhuhu. He was personally present there. So we will see in this episode, there are different
many differences between Indra and Prithu. The one difference which Prabhupada highlights in one of the later purports is that Indra and Prithu both were actually incarnations of the Lord. In the sense that they were both were actually empowered by the Lord. Living entity empowered with a particular power. But the difference between Indra and Prithu was that Prithu Maharaj never forgot the position of being eternal servant of the Lord. But Indra, he actually forgot his position as servant of the Lord. He became attached to that particular position. So therefore, he started troubling Prithu Maharaj's sacrifice so much so that he was troubling that activity which was meant to please the Supreme Lord. It means like he forgot his position as a servant of the Lord. That's why he's upsetting the sacrifice which is meant to please the Lord. And there are other differences which come, that how Indra is a stubborn devotee, but Prithu Maharaj is a flexible devotee. Like that. We'll just recite two more verses. Anvito Brahma Sharvabhyam Lokapalai Sahanugai Upagiyamano Gandharvair Munibis Chapsaroganai.
When Lord Vishnu appeared in the sacrificial arena, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and all the chief predominating personality of every planet, as well as their followers, came with him. When he appeared on the scene, the resident of Gandharva Lok, the great sages and the resident of Apsara Lok all praised him.
Siddha Vidyadhara Daitya Danava Gukhya Kadaya Sunandananda Pramukha Parshada Pravarahare.
The Lord is accompanied by the residents of Siddhaloka and Vidyadhara Loka, all the descendants of Diti, and the demons and the yakshas. He was also accompanied by his chief associates, headed by Sunanda and Nanda.
Kapilo Narado Datto Yogesha Sanakadaya Tam Anviyur Bhagavata Yechatat Sevanotsuka.
Great devotees who are always engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as well as the great sages named Kapila, Narada, Dattatreya, and masters of mystic powers, headed by Sanak Kumar, all attended the great sacrifice with Lord Vishnu.
So, Seva Notsuka, that means they were all great devotees eager for service. They also attended the sacrifice along with Lord Vishnu. So, I'll stop here. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktivinoda.